Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am really, really excited for this episode. I have no idea where this is going, but this is going to be amazing. I would like to introduce you to Michelle and Jack, a real hot couple, which is, I'm just going to say that's their legal last name. Welcome, Michelle and Jack. How are you doing?
Hi.
Hi, how are you? It's great to be on the show.
So that last name of yours, Real Hot Couple, what's that about?
It's mine. I took a lot to convince her to take my name, but yeah, it's actually my name, my father, grandfather, and great-great-grandfather. A lot of pressure on this family.
You're a Jack Real Hot Couple the third or something?
I am.
That's pretty fantastic. All right, so that name, Real Hot Couple, and Real Hot Couple for you, is a term that you use on a few different sites. What kind of places, where might somebody find you?
Well, interestingly enough, it actually started because we've been together for many years, and we periodically throughout, you know, since pretty early on in our relationship, have been swinging or in the lifestyle or whatever you would, you know, call it. We've actually had very, very few partners, which is ironic over the years, but we've kind of done it periodically throughout the years. So we've been on like the swinger sites for a number of years, with that handle and similar handles. And then, I don't know, we're just kind of fun sexual people who love sex and have always enjoyed, you know, we've been together for 13, 14 years and we have sex like we did when we met, you know, multiple times a day. And you know, sex in public and, you know, all kinds of things like that. And so as we started to have sex in public more, we realized how much we enjoyed the exhibitionism and, you know, part of it. And so one day, five, 6 months ago, we were out in California on vacation and we were on one of those sites and we just decided to put on our cam and next thing we knew, we're just playing and hanging out and, you know, just being, you know, whatever, drinking and, you know, playing and just having fun. And next thing you know, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people watching us from all over the world.
So it's so with the digital age, you know, I found another dimension of turn on, I think. It was just fun, you know, that a lot of people were watching and a lot of people liked us and we got a lot of compliments and it sort of added to my addiction for this kind of fun.
And you're able to do it in like a safe environment.
In the safety of your hotel room.
Right. You know, like at the time we were, you know, actually at a friend's house in their guest room, you know, doing it. And then we were doing it in our own house, you know, with literally just a cam. So it's almost, you know, it was like being able to perform for all of those people but again, in the safety of your own home. And it was just kind of exhilarating. And then after, you know, a couple of weeks, someone on that site actually told us about this site called Chatterbait. If you don't know it and you do porn and stuff on the internet, this is where you should go. Chatterbait.com. And someone told us about it and we went and checked it out and we've been doing it for a handful of months now and we're just absolutely
It's a pretty
addicted.
Exciting platform too. So you get to interact with like a group of people who are in your quote unquote room. So for me, it's sort of like not only being like an exhibitionist, but I'm getting feedback from, you know, and having, you know, like a fun conversation with those people that are watching. So it's pretty cool.
And just to clarify, so these sites where you're doing it, like, are people just stopping by for free or are you also able to make anything from this as well?
Oh yeah. Great question. Actually both. The site is absolutely free to go, but the way the platform is set up with Chatterbait is you can be in the room and anybody, you know, can be in there and watching and enjoying. But they set up like various different games that you can play and things like that. And people can tip and they get certain privileges. And sometimes they do private shows where you pay for a ticket. So maybe you see, you know, things as they lead up. And then if you don't want to spend any money, then that's the extent of it. And then if you want to spend a little money, then, you know, you're buying a ticket to a show basically. So you can do both.
So the short answer is, yeah, you can watch for free. And yeah, thousands of people do, and we appreciate their following us, and they're all, you know, we just have a great time.
Their tip is part of like if they want to, they can tip as part of like, as I said, like these various games that they play, or they can just tip almost like, I don't know, I guess like a stripper at a strip club, you know, basically, you know, they can purchase tokens, and they can give you tokens that are worth certain amounts just to say, you know, thank you, or to ask if you would do a certain thing, or, you know, something like that.
When you say that you have thousands and thousands of people watching, is that like pretty average for someone who's on the site, or are you particularly popular?
Well, we're very new to the site, but from what we understand, that's highly unusual. So I don't know what it is. Maybe just that we are so real and honest with who we are. I mean, we're not on there pretending to be something we're not. People seem to be drawn to that. I don't know. I don't think that we have anything over anybody else. I don't know. People seem to just like watching.
See, my wife doesn't know how gorgeous she is. So she's like nothing personal. There's a lot of beautiful women on the site, but my wife is by far the most beautiful woman on that site. But I really do think that what Michelle said is true. That I think a lot of people there, you know, or a decent number of the people, they're doing shows or they're doing like these performances where we just kind of go online and just have fun, you know, have a couple glasses of wine and, you know, play these, you know, silly games and have fun.
And we have a lot of people
and
who come back. There are people who just come on that we know, you know, that from the site that have been, you know, in our room a lot, and we have conversations with them, and it's just really a fun time. So
one of the things that you mentioned that is probably very appealing to people is this idea that you're being very real and that it's a totally authentic experience, that this is like the sort of thing you would be doing anyway.
Exactly.
Yes.
As you get into this more, and considering that it is a thing that, you know, people are tipping and that sort of thing, and how that might affect it, does that affect like what you choose to do? Does it change the authenticity for you? Are you doing things any differently than you would otherwise?
That's a really, really good question. I mean, yes and no. Like, you know, there are certain things that we do that we're into, and there are certain things that we don't. Like, just as an example, Michelle's not into anal, okay? So, like, there's not enough tokens right now that you can pay, you know, to see me, you know, do that with her. It just isn't, you know? But sure, when people are generous, it pushes us, you know, if people aren't generous, maybe we don't have sex on cam that night. You know, if people are generous, you know, maybe they get to watch our sex that night. You know, like we're like, you know, I'm going to fuck her tonight one way or another. I said, it's just whether or not you guys are going to see it sometimes, you know? I mean, yeah, there's a little bit of that. I mean, I don't know. It's for me, I guess as a guy, I don't feel like I could have ever been like a male stripper or something like that. So for me, I kind of get that little, you know, rush out of being admired and people, you know, quote unquote, throwing money. The tokens actually make sounds. So you hear like,
like you're
at the casino. So it's a little, you know, so it's exhilarating. And like, sure, when you're enjoying what you're doing anyway, and people are telling you, showing you how much they enjoy it, it's exciting. When you're an exhibitionist, you're not, you know, that excites you. It doesn't obviously make you nervous. So it's just, it's pretty crazy what we've kind of gotten wrapped up in recently.
And really so quickly, I have to say, you know, it does have an addictive nature to it, for me anyway.
You mentioned earlier that you started out, you'd already been swingers, you already had like other people involved. Do you bring other people into your sessions as well? Do you ever do them solo? Is there any other variation like that?
Yeah, good question. Actually, until very recently, again, we just started this in January. So we're talking, you know, 5-ish months. Until just about a month ago, it was only the two of us online. And then we actually had a male friend.
I had an interest in somebody that was training me.
Her personal trainer?
Yeah, I thought nice. He was an attractive person. And so that kind of evolved into Well, I'll let you tell them how
that
all
works. We basically asked him if it would be, we told him we didn't really explain like all the details, but we said we're on this site because with Chatterbait, everything has to be very like, everyone has to be age verified and everything that's on cam. So, so you can't just like even video the two of them like working out without him being approved. So we told him that she's on this site that people watch her do various things, which is true. I mean, sometimes we have her, you know, cook, you know, topless and people, you know, a couple thousand people will sit and watch her do that. So, and then we said, we think people would be interested in watching you two, you know, work out, blah, blah, blah. So he gave us his identification and we got him approved. And through the nature of a, you know, close workout, they got, you know, kind of close and interested. And, you know, next thing we knew, we're, you know, selling tickets to a threesome show on Chatterbait, I guess. Nice.
That's, and like, it's so interesting to me how that immediately was a personal trainer. I'm like, I knew it. Because like, I know a lot of trainers and I'm like, I know why you're in this field. And it's not your love of exercise science.
It's so true. People are like, do you think that she's still paying for the sessions? I don't think she's
that's a good question.
No, she's no longer paying for the sessions. He's paying for this. I'm just joking.
Or there's like a barter system.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that.
45 minutes actually, for 45 minutes.
He's certainly enjoying the session.
He's certainly enjoying the session. He's actually become a friend of ours.
He's a person that we do call and do hang out with when we're not on cam. He's not an actor or anything. He's also a real person. So.
And that's kind of where, the name came from. It's real. It's not like, okay, what can we create to, you know, whatever. It's just, we're giving people a peek into we're naughty sexually, I guess, you know, to some degree. And we're letting people peek into that, you know, that naughtiness.
I want to make a callback question to something you said like very, very early, which is about how you've been together for a really long time. And the frequency of your sex is the same as it was in the beginning. And I'm curious if you think that that's the nature of just who you are, or if you have some particular insights, some particular relationship advice, perhaps, that you would give other people to explain why that is the case for you. And for a lot of people, it's very much not.
Well, I think there's something to be said in any long-term relationship about first of all, honesty and transparency, and exploring novelty together. That keeps both of us excited, and obviously we're not your traditional couple where it's he can only have me and I can only have him. And so we're a little different in that way, from your norm, but, you know, it works for us. Like I said, I think the greatest thing is the transparency of it all.
Yeah, we have no lies. We have no secrets. We have no, you know, we could be walking down the street and not only can I, you know, look at a woman that walks by, but sometimes she'll be elbowing me to show me the woman who's walking by. So it's just nice to be able to, I think, you know, it's natural. I mean, I've never been a cheater ever in my life. I've never been in this kind of relationship before, and I've never been a cheater in any of my past relationships. But I think it's natural to want other people, not in place of and not to jeopardize your relationship. But I think it's just natural to be attracted to other people and want to experience that and want to experience other things like group scenarios with three people and four people and, you know, whatever. And to be able to do that, you know, together is
to be able to explore your fantasies and still know your primary relationship is solid is really a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful gift.
Well said.
How do you think that you are able to do that? Because like I hear a lot of questions from people about, you know, one person wants to open it up. The other person is really reticent about that. And there, you know, there's some people who suggest that like, being poly, being open might actually be like a sexual orientation, much as like being bi or being straight might be. Do you think
there might be some legitimacy to that just because I would say if one person is reticent, then don't do it.
Right.
We kind of came together a similar people. And
but neither of us had ever been in this type of relationship
no,
before,
interestingly
though.
Enough.
So, and neither of us had ever been cheaters before in any of our relationships.
No.
So I don't, so I'm not sure. That's interesting, but I don't know. It just feels healthy and
right.
honest.
And honest and right.
There,
you know, I just know so many men and women, and you hear about so many men and women that cheat or want to cheat or have this person at the office that they love to bang, and you know, like why can't you just talk to your spouse about that? And maybe it's not even, maybe you don't even do it, but maybe you talk about it during sex and it turns it on. I mean, it just seems like the openness
But again, we do get questions from people who are in monogamous traditional relationships who say, how do I get my wife into this? And you might start by seeing if she's interested in watching some Chatterbait or something with you, but the sad truth, I think, is you kind of have to meet that person.
Right.
I think you both have to. It might be an orientation, as you say. It's something we're also exploring. It's new. It's, you know, like not new in having other partners, you know, together. But I think your sexuality is something that you continue to explore, and that's a healthy thing to do.
When you're talking about all this stuff, I just naturally have to assume that there are times you still have disagreements. You have to still have some degree of conflict in your relationship at some point, I feel like. Is that fair?
Do you mean sexually or in general?
In general. I mean, just as a couple.
Okay. We're a married couple.
Yeah. I'm just assuming.
Absolutely. Okay. We don't have problems, but we don't really, I mean, very, very,
sexually,
very few and minor and for very short periods of time, you know, really don't have any issues, you know, sexually, because we talk about them. Oh, absolutely. There are things that annoy me about her and that annoy her about me. We're a typical married couple in that way. And maybe that's why we do this also, because maybe we're just trying to eliminate as much of the BS as you can, because some of this stuff you can't, you know, but we just found a way, you know, to, and again, it's, what's so funny is that we've been with probably less than 10 total people in the entire time that we've been doing this in more than 10 years. So this is something that we're very, very picky with who we get together with. And a lot of times it's really about talking about the fantasy until maybe we find that who we think might be one of the right people that we'd have a great time with. And then we meet with that person or people. So it's not like we're out there every weekend, you know.
No, we started online when the AOL discs were coming in the mail. We started chatting in chat rooms, and like, we thought it was cool. And you know, technology evolved, and bam, here we are, able to have a room on Chatterbait. And people like to stop by, and that makes us happy.
I'm going to keep pestering you about your conflict stuff, because I just find this super fascinating. It seems like you have really good conflict resolution going on, and like just really good communication in general. When you are having conflict, let's just say like some bullshit with like laundry or taxes or whatever, does that affect your sex? Does that affect whether or not you're going to? Does that affect like the way it plays out? I mean, do you ever...
Wow. I think a lot of it works the opposite. I think that the more sex that you're having, because we have great sex, so I think the more sex that we're having, I think the happier we are in the relationship. I think the times in our relationship where we've been having less sex, I think, is when we've had more of our arguments and stuff. People stay happier.
You're probably right, because I was going to say pick your battles, but you're probably right about that. I mean, like, why would I want to be arguing about laundry when we could be having great sex? You know, I don't know. You know, being together a long time, you know, obviously you're going to have your ups and your downs, and you're going to have some hard stuff to work through. It's just normal life. But I think you're right, Jack. I think that having great sex and being able to have great sex it kind of keeps you happy. It keeps those endorphins going, working for you.
Yeah, because but it's also cyclical. You know, when you're not having a lot of sex, I think you get grumpier and whatnot, and then you're fighting more. And then when you're fighting, you don't really want to, especially the woman, but even the guy. I'm a pretty emotional, sensitive guy as far as
maybe
the guy
hold
goes.
On to dumb stuff.
Don't really want to, you know, have sex. So it just kind of becomes a cyclical situation. And I think that's, you know, we were talking about earlier, you know, is that the norm? I think that's what happens to couples. They get caught up in that, you know, bullshit, and it just becomes this whole thing. And then next thing you know, months go by and you haven't had sex with your spouse. And
dug your heels into some drama that, you know.
And then it's like, and then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And, you know, we've had some, you know, some tough parts of our relationship. There are ups and downs. We're a normal couple. We've been together almost 14 years total, including pushing a 13-year marriage. So there's definitely been some, you know, some down parts, but you just try and, you know, pull yourself quickly out of those. And I definitely think that great sex is, I mean, there has to be the communication and obviously everything else there also, but, you know, it really is important because it keeps you guys close. It keeps you guys intimate. And if you're having great sex and orgasms, it keeps you
and
happy.
And you're not lying and you're sharing your vulnerabilities with one another and you're experiencing it together. I mean, that's bonding. I don't know. I don't know that we have something, you know, or we're on to something, but it definitely works for us.
And by the way, I'm glad you said it worked for us. We don't think this is right for everybody.
No.
That's a misconception. And to reiterate, because I know Michelle said it twice, when you would ask the question about someone who one is reluctant, if they're reluctant, meaning like they're nervous, then maybe they should go and check out like a swinger party and just kind of watch and see if that excites them or if it freaks them out or if they're just not really into it. But if someone's really just not into it and the other one's into it, then that's not a couple who should be doing this, you know. And we've heard
some stories,
because we're very picky and we wait a long time to get to know people before we potentially meet them. But we've heard stories, especially from a couple friend of ours that we do swing with, about they were meeting with this couple one time and
they thought that swinging would spice up their relationship, which was bad.
So next thing you know, they're like arguing in this couple
naked.
Is arguing naked in our friend's backyard. So
screaming,
you know,
oh my God,
screaming and yelling. And they keep going out there and they're like, okay, so maybe we should just call. We should just know to go. Maybe we should just call this a night. And they're like, no, we'll be fine. We'll be in a few minutes. And it's like, no, you're fucking screaming like morons in our backyard. You shouldn't be fucking other people. You know what I mean? Like, this is obviously not working. Like, you have to be at a point, your relationship, it's kind of like, you know, they say don't have a kid to make your relationship better. It's the same thing with this, you know, like this is
an expansion of what you already have.
Right. We have an amazing sex life and wanted to experiment and have fun together, not like our sex life sucks, so let's see if we can bring in other people and make us excited.
Exactly. You know,
I think that's kind of what happens sometimes. And then I think there's also, you have to really be at a certain level of security in your relationship to be able to see your partner doing other things. You know, we're at such a point in our relationship that we enjoy seeing that. It's not just that we're comfortable with it because we want to fuck the other person. It's we enjoy typically more watching the other person than even the being involved in the various scenarios.
That's interesting. Could you clarify that more? Like what you're saying you enjoy.
So like, for example, when we were, you know, like a couple of the couples that we were with, Michelle enjoyed watching me with the woman probably more than being with the guy.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. I still have some great visuals. That's great masturbation material for me. Great visuals still from that particular time. Really sexy. There's something, I don't know what it is for me, but it's a visual thing. Maybe it's like watching porn, but it's my, husband.
That we think is hot that we get to.
Who's hot as hell and who's with someone else who's hot as hell. And I just really like seeing him do to her what I know he can do to me.
And it's also sort of tapping into the idea of compersion, like the idea, it's the, you know, for anybody who's not familiar, it's the emotion that's like the opposite of jealousy. So rather than,
I wasn't familiar.
Me neither.
Yeah. So the emotion of compersion is theoretically that rather than feeling that something is being taken away from you or that you're losing something out because your partner is enjoying something with someone else, instead, right, you feel pleasure at the pleasure that your partner is getting from somewhere.
We are both 100%. Neither of us have ever heard that expression, that term, and we are both 100% that. And it's so funny because every couple, you know, almost in any relationship says that, not sexually, but to the other person, right? And when you break up, what do you say? Oh, all I really want is for you to be happy, right? So why doesn't that extend, you know? And for me, it does. Like, sure, she's enjoying herself, but at the end of the day, I know she comes home to me and we have something special and different than what's going on there. Then why isn't that a wonderful thing? And a lot of times she's experiencing that and watching and looking at me watching her, you know, I mean, it's really about us and experiencing other things with other people together.
Yeah. I'm curious what all is on your menu, because you've been together for a long time. You know, you've been working with the same, like, you know, geography.
We've been with single women. So I guess like an FMF, they call it, right? Mm-hmm. We've been with single men. That was the recent one that we did on Chatterbait. And some others, but I mean, that was the most recent one. We've been with couples.
We've been with one married couple, and we've been with two married couples. So that would
right at the same time. We've had six, you know, we had six, you know, so three men and three women, three couples. And that was pretty much, those are pretty much our experiences.
Out of curiosity, do you have like identities, sexual orientation wise? Like how do you identify? Like gay, straight, bi?
I'm bi. Uh-huh.
I'm straight.
Okay.
I mean, I'm very.
But I mean, it's interesting with this polyamory thing. I mean, like you said, I mean, it could be a sexuality. What we do, I don't know. There's all kinds of new labels coming out. So, I don't know. I'm bi. He's straight.
Very comfortable though.
And very comfortable.
There seems to be, like, I want to ask Jack specifically. There's some straight men that I've talked to who are open to lots of different variations on group sex, but for the most part, what they want is more women to be involved, and they have a lot of issues with another penis being in the room.
Sure.
And you.
That's why I said very comfortable, because that doesn't bother me, you know, as long as it's not smacking me in the face too much, I'm pretty much okay. Yeah. So
if it's smacking me in the face, then we're all good.
Like last time, like we were all sitting next to each other on the couch, and you know, it was me, her, and the trainer, and all of a sudden his name is Brad, and all of a sudden Brad says, "Hey dude, your hand's on my leg." And I was like, "Oh, sorry, man." You know, like, so it's like, you know, when you're, and he's never been in this situation before. He's never been in a threesome. He's never, you know, so, and it was definitely a little bit like, you know, whoa for him at first. But I guess the fact is that, you know, it's all about how comfortable you are, I guess, in your own skin. And not to make judgments on those people, but you know, those people, I guess they are into, they're just looking to fuck other women probably and see their wives with other women, and probably have, are not, what was that expression that you told us, that term?
Compersion.
Compersion. So you say you practice compersion. You are how would you use that?
I think it's more of an emotional state, like that you would feel it.
You feel it. Okay. So they would not be that, because they're really more, it's really more about their pleasure, it seems like. Right.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Because what do they want? They want to be with another woman. They want to see their wife with another woman. Right.
Yeah.
Who cares about what the wife wants? Right. And for a very long time, we never really got together with single men, not because of me, but really because she was so satisfied, and what she was getting out of being with the couples and the women was what she was really wanting out of it. So, but every once in a while, I guess a hot enough guy comes around that, you know, she's interested and she's gotten more comfortable. And, and I realized that, you know, that I enjoyed, you know, watching her as much as, you know, she enjoys, you know, watching me, as long as she's enjoying herself. Otherwise,
While we're on the topic of the menu and like all the different things that go down, I'm also curious, like, other than like the manifestations with other couples, like, are you into like a variety of sexual acts? Is it a pretty like standard, like vanilla sort of thing? Do you get kinky? Is there BDSM involved? Like, how broad is your exploration?
That's a good question. I would say we're probably somewhere in the middle to, I mean, like, we've never done any hard, you know, BDSM at all. I mean, I've tied her up a couple times, and she likes to, you know, she likes to be spanked. She likes, we're very dirty verbally. She really likes
lots of dirty talk. Yeah,
she likes a lot of dirty talk. She likes her hair to be pulled. She likes to be spanked a little bit at the right times. We like public sex. We like to be watched, obviously. And we like other people to be joining us, and we like people to watch us. So I would say in some ways, I think very extreme, because I think there's a lot of people that aren't into the extreme exhibitionist stuff. I wouldn't say anywhere near extreme in the BDSM stuff.
Yeah.
Barely really done anything.
Kind of light domination.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're open to a lot of things. I think a lot of that stuff,
part of it is also part of what's, I think for us, what's in our normal, in our one-on-one sex life, our sex is so great that we just haven't really introduced that much.
Right, we haven't tried a lot of stuff. You know, we're kind of innocent at the same time that I feel like we're vanilla. Jack will tell me, no, I don't think that we are. No, this is a little different. But
I think you're outside the strict definition of vanilla, but like the sex itself
might still be. French vanilla.
Okay, or vanilla with sprinkles.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Even a little tiny bit butterscotch.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I would like to try a swing. I've never tried that, you know, things like that. I'm certainly open to, and
it's talking about a sex swing.
Yes.
I assumed.
Yeah. I was talking about swinging all night. Like, wait.
So those kind of things, yeah. I mean, definitely are on the horizon because, you know, I can't see us going, getting more vanilla.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have to the ante for your show? Do you feel like because other people are going to be watching and perhaps you want to retain your numbers or get them bigger, do you feel like you have to expand more, try new stuff, go into particular niches to please the audience?
No, I don't. I mean, there's definitely part like, I mean, okay, when we had this trainer, he came back like about a month ago for like a Friday night and ended up spending the whole weekend. And we basically had like an on and off like sex marathon on Chatterbait. People said they'd never seen anything like this in their entire lives. It was like each show.
This was really what was going on in our house.
Right.
So it was like, just like, hey,
turn we around. Have like, maybe this is an interesting time to mention this, but we have a daughter. Okay. So, so our daughter was staying with my parents for the weekend. So we had like, you know, the house, you know, to completely ourselves. So we ended up just having fun, and we just ended up having like an on and off, you know, just sex marathon all weekend. It was like sex and shower and eat and sex and shower and eat and sex, sex, sex and shower and eat, and, you know, and it was
and watch
just,
a movie and hang out.
And it was
sex and shower and eat.
So there was definitely a little bit after that weekend, like, holy crap, like the next time we go on, are they going to be like, hey, where's Brad and what's going on? You know, like, but I don't know. I mean, like, you know, we're not doing it for that reason. So it's not something that really concerns me. You know, I think that, again, that Michelle has something special. I think she's just, I mean, physically is just gorgeous, and she has an amazing personality, and she's very open and slutty in a good way, you know. Naughty is probably what I should say. And I think that we're real when we offer something that is pretty rare, you know, out there, without having to do those things. So I think when we do those things, I think they're just, you know, big bonuses for people that, you know, I mean, we had people, you know, all over literally the world. I mean, on islands I've never heard of and countries I've never heard of, and telling us, and we said, okay, when are you guys gonna be back on? And we're like, give us 2 hours. And they're like, okay, it'll be 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to set my alarm to wake up.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like, you're like, what?
That's serious. You know, like,
so, you know, like, they're like, you know, like, it was nuts. And it was like, and that's exhilarating too. It makes you, you know, besides the sex and the excitement of the sex, it's like, that is some, you know, makes you want
to. It keeps me on cam, you know, sometimes when I'm like, I'm seriously going to bed. No, really seriously now. This time I'm going to bed. Good night, guys. I'm going to bed. And
then you look up,
keep coming in, and they're like, please stay.
Right. You look up, you're about to say goodnight, and you look up at your room, and there's like 6,000 people in your room, and you're like, we're going to say goodnight now, and there's 6,000 people in there,
like,
you know?
Good morning. They're all asking you to stay. So there's a little pressure there, but
how much
good pressure.
How much time do you spend camming now that you've started?
What's funny is not very much at all, because this is not our real, I mean, like, job life. I mean, I guess it kind of is for Michelle now, but But prior to this, you know, January, and actually still to this day, I work a real regular, you know, marketing and sports management, you know, job. So I work a lot and travel a lot. And as I mentioned, we're parents. We have a 3-year-old. And Michelle, prior to having our, you know, 3-year-old, worked in communications, and was getting ready to kind of start going back to, you know, to work. And this happened to be happening at the same time. So it kind of became a little bit like, so I get to do what I do anyway with my husband and sometimes occasionally other people, and I get to stay at home and do it part time and not have to go back to work and still be a mom. And so,
kind of worked out really well.
So that's how that kind of expanded. But for her, this is kind of her income for now, by no means a full time job. She doesn't, she rarely goes on herself. So we go on, you know, occasionally during the evenings, during the week, like after our daughter is, you know, in bed. And, or we go on like on the weekends, when we, you know, if we have her staying with someone else or, you know, something like that.
Speaking of, other real grown-up jobs and stuff, does this in any way affect like the rest of your life? Is there any crossover? Do you tell people elsewhere?
I knew that was coming.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
What's funny is it's weird. It's like, nobody in my other life knows about this that I'm aware of.
Ooh, secret.
But it's weird. It's like, I'm not ashamed of it. We obviously don't hide it. There are people on Chatterbait that don't show their faces because they don't want people to see. They literally just cut off their faces from the cam and they show their bodies and do all that. And they stay, you know, private basically. We've chosen obviously not to do that. I just feel that it's not right for everybody. So I guess my theory was kind of, if you're not into this stuff, then you're not on Chatterbait. And if you're on Chatterbait, well, then I guess there it is, you know? So
that's a good
you're
point.
On Chatterbait too. So, you know, so I guess I kind of felt in that way. And it was almost the same theory of, you know, like people would say to me, you know, I can't believe, and not that I would go often, but occasionally we'd go with, you know, some of the athletes I work with, we go to like a, you know, a strip club or something like that. And they go, you go to a strip club? God, I can't believe, you know, like what if someone sees you there, you know, I'm like who? You mean like, you know, like someone I do business with? Well, then that means they're there too.
Yeah.
You know, so they're looking at the same TNA that I'm looking at. So I'm, what are they going to judge me? You know, so I, in that way, I kind of felt that's what it is. Like, I don't feel I have to go tell my mother or my grandmother, you know, that I do this, but we're openly out there, you know, doing, you know, obviously doing it. And we're not proud of it because we're just having fun and living our life. And if people think it's better to not do this and either cheat or sneak around on your laptop when your spouse is asleep, you know, looking at, you know, porn, you know, and that's better than just talking to your spouse about what you're interested in and what you'd like to experiment with and what you'd like to try, then maybe that's what's right for them. For us, we've chosen, you know, another route. And hopefully, you know, my mother and grandmother will never ask me about it.
I'm very curious if Michelle has the same answer, because just not to push you in any direction with your answer, but I'm just sort of curious because, like, just setting context for why I ask. For instance, like, there have been a few college porn star girls who've been outed who had, like, a tremendous amount of blowback about it. They got a lot of harassment. They got a lot of that sort of stuff. Meanwhile, a Columbia student came out as a male sex worker, got no negative feedback at all. So I was just curious if, you know, if Michelle, if you had the same answer or if you felt like you were in any different position.
As far as blowback goes, I mean, I feel safe and protected. My identity is protected even if someone, you know, is watching me online. I mean, I'm not worried about my parents finding out or anything like that. I mean, I'm a grown woman. as far as being safe, I mean, I feel like we take care of all of the measures that, you know, are necessary to protect our real identity. You know, I can see how that could be a very serious situation for some college students who are simply just trying to make a living. Actually, on a lighter note, I did have a different answer, kind of in a funny context. Before we became, you know, the world of, you know, digital everything, and just in our swinging lives, once when I was working in New York City, somebody pops up out of the subway. It says, Michelle, Michelle, Michelle. And I'm like, oh, hi. And I walk, I'm kidding you not, I walk like an avenue and a half with this guy, you know, like, and he's talking to me very, you know. And I'm talking to him, and I'm like, how do I know this guy? How do I know this guy? So I'm standing there in Times Square, and I'm like, okay, so I'm going back up to my office, you know? And I get up there, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I had this real, like, Samantha from Sex and the City moment, like, oh, my God, I've had sex with that guy. And I'm like, I didn't, and I couldn't tell anyone. I felt like, oh my God, who could I call? So I called Jack, and I'm like, I just had a Sex in the City moment. I'm like, I kid you not, standing on, like, in, you know, a beautiful building in New York City, looking out over the city going, I had sex with that guy. He just popped out of the subway and said, hey, Michelle, like, what a small world. I would never have thought someone would have recognized me. But
I guess he wasn't very memorable. Like, this guy was just like sort of a like milk toast, like didn't do anything particularly interesting, I guess.
I guess not. I mean, I don't. I mean, that was just so weird. Maybe it was in the dark in my house and it was broad daylight in a different setting at Times Square. So I'm like,
I mean, to be fair, she is bad with faces.
I'm terrible. I'm a Midwest girl. Terrible.
But also, to be fair, I mean, obviously not that memorable. I only saw him once.
I'm walking with him going, how do I know him?
Like,
how
maybe if you'd seen him at the beach where he was like wearing fewer clothes, you'd have been maybe.
Yeah, but in a business suit, it was a little weird.
I remember that nipple.
Exactly. That's right. You have the third nipple.
Super memorable now. Oh, yeah. You were really into baseball. I remember that. Whatever. Okay.
Short bus guy. Oh, yes.
So you've only been doing this for a short amount of time, so maybe this is a ridiculous question to ask, but do you have like a plan going forward? Do you feel like you're going to be doing this like with a consistent regularity? Do you feel like this is a temporary thing? Do you think you're going to expand? What is the plan at this point?
It's a good question. We definitely like are not trying to become porn stars. We have friends that are porn stars. If we wanted to go that route, we have no problem becoming like, you know, some of the more well-known amateur, you know, ones. What we like about the way that we do it is, you know, we're just doing what we normally do and we're broadcasting it. So it's like we're making our own porn, basically, how we want to make it. You know,
when we want to make it, with whomever we choose.
We're not. You should have sex with that, you know, with him, because it's, you guys will make a great scene together. You know, like it's, you know,
there are no directors. It's just us.
We're the directors.
And honestly, what we would be doing anymore.
So we definitely don't want to go like, you know, that far expansion. For now, we're really absolutely loving it. We're making a nice amount of, you know, Michelle's making a nice amount of money, you know, having some having fun
for being a stay at home mom. I'm doing okay.
and we're just going to continue doing that as long as it's, you know, as long as we're having fun.
Yeah, really.
Every once in a while, I'll get a question from someone who is curious about going into, usually they say porn, although the porn industry is actually doing quite terribly compared to how it has been doing, and camming has really
replaced it. Changing very, very much. I agree with you. The porn industry is definitely changing toward a more social media.
Yeah. I mean, there's, I mean,
expansion.
It's so personalized. You get literally exactly what you want. You get that sort of interactive experience where it feels like it has more to do with the relationship you have with this other person and that sort of thing. If somebody's thinking about going into camming, what advice do you have for them?
Good question. Interesting. What advice do we have for them? There's no harm in trying. Like, if you're thinking about doing it, then do it, right? Because if you do it once or twice and you hate it, who cares?
Right.
And then, you know, we're people that, as you can tell by the way we, you know, live our sex life, we don't live in the, you know, we don't really have fantasies for very long. We live our fantasies. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if this is something that's exciting someone and they think that they want to do this, then try it. And if they love it, great, then go. Have fun, be honest, and be real, because I think that that's what is changing. I think that's what's making people, you know, want to do more of the camming, you know, want to see more of the camming. Is it's like a mix of, it's why reality TV does so well, because people want the peek into people's lives and people want to feel like they know that people. And reality TV, you get a look into people's lives, and most of those people are all over social media where you can actually talk to those people and, mm-hmm. and interact with those people. And on, you know, sites like Chatterbait, you know, and because we're not, you know, celebrities, you know, you can actually talk to us, you type to us and we respond to you. And these people are like, you know, so we're becoming like, you know, pseudo cam, you know, whatever. And for them,
fan favorites, yeah, and whatnot.
Yeah, and for them, it's, you know, it's just providing, I think, a little more of that, you know, personal experience. So, you know, for the people that are getting involved, you know, to come back to that answer, that question is just, if you're just a fun couple and that's why you're, or woman or man who's doing this, just and just have fun and be yourself. Don't try and, you know, perform or, you know, whatever, because I think the more, you know, real it is, the more people enjoy it. I remember one time, it was very close to the beginning of when we were camming, and it was a particularly, you know, slow night, and, you know, people who were like kind of giving us some advice on, you know, how to help with some tipping and things like that, because it's, you know, we're telling us, you know, whatever. It was a particularly slow night and we were going to sign off, and I guess we forgot to sign off or something. But, you know, as we say, we don't, you know, we always, you know, tell people, you know, like, you know, we, you know, people are like, oh, well then just have sex. And like, well, we're going to have sex, you know, it's just a matter of whether we're going to have sex on, you know, on cam or not. And sometimes we would anyway, you know, regardless, just because we wanted to. And sometimes we would, you know, turn off the cam. And this particular night, I think we meant to turn off the cam and we didn't. You know, meaning like we weren't looking at what people were writing. We weren't worried about the camera angles and, you know, the things that typically you do and have to manage while you're actually having sex and being in the, you know, in the moment in these things. And we just had this, for lack of a better expression, you know, drunk in love. We were, you know, both had been, you know, drinking and just really raw, passionate, you know,
like the camming was over and we were ready to just go together.
Yeah. And the cam happened to be on. and then all of a sudden we kind of like, you know, afterward, like after we both came, we kind of like, you know, we're stopped, you know, kind of like, you know, started like breathing heavy and I like look over and we're like, holy shit, is that cam still on? And people are like clapping and, you know, like, you know, like fireworks, you know, emoticons. And like,
yeah,
these,
we feel the same.
I'm like, oh, shit. We're like, holy crap. And we look up and there's like 9,000 people watching us, you know, and it was just like, and there was something that even though we didn't know it at the time that, you know, afterward, you know, we just thought was like, you know, that we thought that was just really, really, you know, hot.
Really hot.
And people, you know, talk about that, you know, all the time. And we did, so I think that's something that, you know, like we took them once with us, to a public library when we had sex in a public library.
That was a fun day.
That was like really close to the beginning of when we were doing this, and people to this day are, you know, still talking about it. And they think that we're, you know, so like people think that we're just doing this for this thing, but we're really just, you know, we're really just letting them come with us on our crazy sexual journey. I mean, before there was camming, you know, I mean, Michelle has, you know, has blown me on an airplane in our seats numerous times. So we do, you know, so this is just who we are. And we're just, you know, letting people, kind of take a peek into our, naughty life. And what's funny is on our normal life, we're pretty normal people. You know, we both have, really wonderful, families. And obviously I have a daughter and I have a regular job and, we go to holidays and, we're pretty normal, folks. Normal and life. We just really love sex and love having sex and exploring, together and kind of, recently realized how much we, like doing that and letting people watch us do it.
on the topic of fan interaction and, specifically you were getting all these fireworks, yeah, et cetera, and applause. Do you have particular fans that you like and interact with a lot? Are there people that are annoying?
Yes and yes.
How does that go?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. There's definitely extremes on the site. There are people, there are your regulars that you talk to that maybe don't even tip a lot, but that are always so nice and so complimentary and that you know them by their screen names. And then there are the people that of course are as complimentary and tip, okay. Or tip a lot, like some of our, best, supporters or fans or whatever you want to call them. And then, yeah, there are the, just annoying, people, and the annoying people are typically the ones that aren't, and it's not all the people that aren't tipping, but typically the people that are annoying are non-tippers. Typically the people that tip, even the big ones, they're not demanding. They're usually like the least demanding, like the biggest tippers are usually like, oh, so would you like to, would you like me to stand at a certain angle? No, you're gorgeous. But then at the other end, you have the people who would never tip. They don't even have tokens, and Chatterbait shows you if people have money or not. So you even know that there are people that don't have, that are not currently loaded up to be able to even tip. And that's fine. But then it's like, hey, you're sitting at a free strip club, just sit and enjoy the show. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they're the loudest and most, annoying and demanding people. And of course they're the ones with the fetishes, let me see your feet and, let me see your butthole and, whatever people, it's like, why are the feet people always the one without the tokens? If you're a feet guy, go get some tokens and then you can see my feet. I'll show you my feet. I really don't have a problem with it, but really not everybody's into the feet.
I mean, you can tip less than, what is it? Like 5 cents, less than 5 cents. Less
what?
Than
oh, wow. to tip anything? Yeah.
Less than a penny, right. I think.
A token for them is like 10, is basically 10 cents.
So get 10 cents. So I'll show you my feet.
Get it together, feet people. Get it together.
Come on now.
Go get it together. Speaking of like the tipping and that sort of stuff, do you have any aspirations to like sell merch or do DVDs or...
That's a really interesting question. It's funny, on Chatterbait they have a platform where you can sell videos, and what was actually kind of nice about their platform is you when you purchase the videos, you only have them like in your library on Chatterbait, so it's not like that your videos are like out there, like they download them and have them on their computer, so it's kind of nice in that way. But we've decided for now, we're not going to.
We like the live shows.
We think that the interaction and and that is what's so amazing about them and what we really enjoy about them and financially, when we have some of the hottest shows that we've had, financially we do much better than we would do by selling videos. And I think any offline videos these days are just, people are just going away from that. There's too much online stuff.
Yeah. I really think it's about the live stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm a music girl. I know when I've seen even my favorite band playing live, and then listen to it, like played back on DVD or whatever. It's like nothing like the live experience. And so I just I kind of feel like it's that way with us. That's what's real right now with us. This is real time. We're really here, and that's what's sexy about it for us. So I don't know. For the foreseeable future, I don't think we're going to be putting out residual materials, really.
What about, like, because what's coming to my head is t-shirts and underwear.
Okay, well, the underwear thing is actually not branded. We're not doing branded underwear as of now, but guys buy are able to buy her panties.
Yeah, a lot of guys like that.
That's something that a lot of guys are into. So they can kind of already do that, and I think the guys that are into that like that much more than something that had her, you know, her name on it.
All right. Well, I was just thinking I could walk around with like a Michelle and Jack t-shirt.
There you go. just like a real hot couple for you. And by the way, the four is the number four. So like if you're on Chatterbait, it's real hot couple, the number four, and then you.
And the letter U.
The letter U, yes.
That's a super good point, because I actually want to ask. So if people want to check out your stuff, obviously you've mentioned Chatterbait a few times. So they would just go on there, they would search that. Are there any other places that you would want to point
people? You can actually literally go to Chatterbait. The way it works is just chatterbait.com/ whatever the name is. So in our case, it would just be /realhotcouple, the number four, the letter U. And then Michelle also has a Twitter, which is Real Hot Michelle. So it's just @RealHotMichelle.
Mm-hmm. And you can tweet me, and maybe I'll tweet you back.
Nice. I love how you got Real Hot Couple. Like, you were literally...
Because we are the Real Hot Couple.
You've only been doing it for so long, and nobody already had it.
Funny. No. See, but
AOL should put out a commemorative disc. AOL, but Real Hot Couple.
We have versions of all the other of that name. They're a little bit different, but we have versions of that for like our Yahoo and our Kick and all of that stuff, which we've had for years because of the swinging stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why we were the Real Hot Couple before we were camming Real Hot Couple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and when we were just swinging.
I get it. All right.
And I think part of where we started adding the real part of it, because at first we were just Hot Couple for you, actually. And we started adding the real one because of what we were talking about. But part of it also is because of before there was a show, this whole like, you know, online catfish, you know, situation.
Yeah. We wanted to be real.
There's a lot of that going on in the swinger life. There's a lot of like guys pretending to be girls and guys pretending to be couples and stuff like that. So there's a lot of like fakes and, you know, and that kind of, you know, stuff out there. And Michelle is, you know, is gorgeous, and for the lifestyle is like, you know, beyond gorgeous. And so a lot of times when people, and she happens to take unbelievably gorgeous pictures, she tells me it's me.
Oh, it's him.
Whatever. It's a photographer. It's a subject. It's obviously not me. I'm not a professional photographer. I do take pretty good pictures, but we take very like sexy, like on the beach, you know, pictures and things like that that people would think were like professional model pictures. So, and obviously that's what we show people. So we would send people pictures and they would say, they would think we were fake.
Gross, yeah.
So we started like adopting the whole, we're like, no, we're real, you know, we can voice verify, we can go on cam, you know, we're real. So it kind of also became, you know, part of that.
He's a great photographer. Some of these pictures are trending on some sites, like get like crazy views. And that kind of even like was an added turn on for me. What was that one picture you took trending at 44,000?
Oh no, it's 170 something thousand.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh my God. So, yeah, I get a little turn on from that. It's like a little amateur fame.
I like it. Cool. So we're running out of time. Is there anything else that we should know about either of you, or about you as a couple, or your work, or like any parting words for people?
Wow. No, I think this is a pretty good thing. Just follow us, because you never know what we're going to be getting into next.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Real Hot Michelle.
And other than that, just our advice is
it's a Real Hot Couple for you.
And in terms of any advice I'd offer is have fun with your spouse. Be honest. Live life. I'll tell you, I don't have a single experience, and I think Michelle would feel the same way, that we've done that we say we regret.
Absolutely.
And I promise that that we're not going to have any regrets of things that we're not going to die on our deathbed when we're however old together and say, oh my God, I wish we would have done this, this, and this, because we did this, this, and that, and this, that, and that, and that too.
Nice.
This is all live life.
I love it. I love it. This has been one of my favorite conversations on the show. Like, no lie. Like,
thank you so much. We really had a blast. We were like, we kind of went from like we're right before, like up until today, I was very excited, and Michelle, to be honest, was a little bit nervous, and which is funny because we're on cam all the time, and tonight for some reason I was like, oh my god, I started getting a little bit, you know, kind of nervous, but. God, it has really been so much fun.
It's
and
really been a
it really
pleasure.
Was a fabulous, you know, interview. And I really feel like we got to talk a lot about, you know, just everything that we're up to. And we really had
lots
a blast. Really had a blast.
I love it. That's awesome. Thank you so much to Michelle and Jack. Real hot couple for you. And everybody go check them out. At bare minimum, tip them a goddamn nickel. Come on. Come on.
Even if you don't, even if you don't tip anything, go to Chatterbait, which, by the way, is Chatterbate.
Oh,
and
that's
it stands
clever.
For the what their slogan is it's the act of masturbating while chatting online. That's what okay. Chatterbait stands for. Okay. And just go there and check us out. You don't even have to, please tip a nickel would be fabulous, but you don't even have to tip a nickel. But when you come to the room, let us know that you heard us on this podcast.
Oh yeah.
And, and maybe we'll take care of, something special for you,
ooh.
Even if you're non-tipping.
Ooh, that's exciting. Very exciting. All right.
All right, feet people.
Yeah. Get a mani-pedi. Get ready.
That's right.
Awesome. All right. So thank you so much, Michelle and Jack. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.
Hello, podcast fans. Adam Carolla here. I'm leading the fight against patent trolls who are threatening this medium. It's not about me. It's about the podcast you're listening to right now. If I go down, this show could be next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll for more information on how you can keep podcasting alive. Thank you and mahalo.